Hello and welcome to another edition of Inside the Burrow, the FAU podcast for and by fans. My name is Dan. I am joined by Shane and Jack as usual. And this week we are going to break down as far as we can, go over the latest news that's happening with FAU's opponent this week, Georgia Southern, and the news that kind of broke just recently that FAU had to suspend or cancel practice today, which is Tuesday when we're recording this, due to an influx in cases. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We do have the Georgia Southern beat writer joining us, so you guys will get to check that out a little bit later. But I guess, you know, really we're not going to dig much into strategy and X's and O's and, you know, who's going to be playing where, because frankly right now we just don't know. We don't necessarily know the number of cases. FAU shut down practice a couple in August when there was three cases. So, you know, we don't know what it's going to be like. And, you know, keep in mind, Georgia Southern had a large number of players not play last week and they still played their game. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. Again, we're not going to talk X's and O's. I just hopefully, you know, hopefully we can see FAU take the field this weekend, but it's going to be who is going to be taking the field for FAU. I don't know. I don't know, Shane, what are you thinking about the news that kind of broke recently?
Yeah. I mean, it's just part of this year and it's what was kind of expected. And it seemed like things were going well throughout training camp. There was the one little issue, but it seemed like a lot of teams have played this weekend. You know, a lot of schools have not had seem to have these issues. So it's just kind of wondering, you know, what happened right here before the season for FAU. You know, FAU just put out a statement just before we did this podcast that they're going to do more testing and do contact tracing. It could leave us out with a handful of players or, like, you know, Dan said, with minus a number like 33, what Georgia Southern was out last week. Are they starters? Are they backups? Are they at positions like corner and linebacker and D-line where we're already thin? Who knows? You know, this is – it seems like in college football, they're going to push forward and try and play as much as they can. That seems to be the attitude this year. But, you know, it just seems like in the end, in this game, there's not going to be much to take away from it. It seems like, you know, whoever has the best depth could win this game. FAU's recruited well, but we know there's issues with depth on the defense. So who knows?
It's worrying, no doubt. I'm just kind of bummed because I know Shane and I watched the crap out of that Georgia Southern Campbell game to kind of scout the Eagles, and now we don't even know who they're going to be, who the Eagles will be having, who FAU will be having on the field. We don't even know, and it really bites because the defensive coordinator Jim Leavitt, when we were interviewing him, I think it was last Thursday, we said, you know, how much stock do you put in watching your opponent when they're playing an FCS team? And he said, well, you know, we already know that Georgia Southern's play calling is going to be vanilla, but at least we can see personnel. They couldn't even see personnel because they had 33 players out, including their star running back, Wesley Kennedy. We don't even know if he's going to be playing this Saturday. I mean, and just so you guys know, he's crazy. I have the stats right here. In 9 games last season, he had 11 rushing touchdowns and 824 yards. So you know how we hype up, oh, Davidson, Edmonds, McCammon, because they did so well in a limited amount of games. They have a stud at running back that can do exactly the same, and they're just as deep at running back as we are. And if like Shane said, if this hits our linebacking core, which is already thinner than my wrist, then I don't know what's going to happen. It could get ugly, especially with the weather that we're expecting in Statesboro. They're just going to run and run and run.
Yeah, and, you know, the other issue is the one thing they do have a huge advantage over us is, and he'll probably definitely play, is Shire Wirtz, who's just a baller quarterback. He's been in that system for 4 years now. The guy has just – he's a vet. He's single-handedly carried that half team to victory over FCS team last week. He's, you know, a guy who could be a Sun Belt Player of the Year type guy. You know, it's just what he's been. And, you know, watching that game, you know, what I was coming in planning on doing this podcast this morning before all this news broke is, you know, watching that game, I did think, you know, this is someone, as much as we talk about the running backs, as a team we could probably really attack through the air, you know, with our receivers like Aaron Young and Chase and Willie Wright and, you know, BJ Alexander, but, you know, who knows who's playing and who knows going to be along the island. I know we've said the word who knows a bunch in this podcast, but, you know, hopefully they can overcome this.
Yeah, Jack, you do have some pretty dainty wrists, so we are you must be really, really thin there. Yeah, again, and for those that I guess haven't been following, and we talked a little bit about this last time, is the QB battle, where after the scrimmage last week, Nick Tronti was named the starting quarterback. Is he the starting quarterback? You know, so again, where there's. It's football in the times of COVID, which is just a sucky thing. And it does seem like football is happening no matter what. You know, the Big Ten, just today, they announced that they were going to continue on. I think Georgia Southern last week, being down 33 players, and they still playing, like, we're going to play. So,
yeah, and I just hope we, you know, at the result of this, there's not, you know, bad PR news at the back end of this. You know, you saw there was a situation where a bunch of Memphis players tested positive for COVID after the Arkansas State game when they opened a few weeks ago, and they kind of traced it back to being players going on a party bus after the game. Yeah. You know, so you hope it doesn't stem for something like that with FAU. And, you know, it also makes you wonder other things, you know, with players on campus. You know, I was wondering today, what are their living situations? You know, I don't know. FAU doesn't have athletic-only dorms. Are they sharing, probably not rooms, but are they sharing hallways and the cafeteria with some kid in a fraternity that truly doesn't care and is going to off-campus parties? You know, and they walk by each other or step into the elevator and someone's mask falls off. It's something as simple as that. So it's wondering if, you know, should we be bubbling these players even more?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I do feel bad for, like, some of the freshman football players. You know, they can't go to the HPT fifth floor party. So it's like a rite of passage at FAU. You know what I mean? Don't get me wrong. It's just – there's just so many question marks. We just don't know. We do know that at some point, most likely Wednesday afternoon or evening, we will get an update. As of now, it's around 12 players, but – like you just said, Shane, with contact tracing, it could get worse.
Yeah. So hopefully Owl fans, you know, just, I guess, kind of go along with the ride. I will leave it at this. Outside of the SMU game, it does seem like FAU and national TV, nothing seems to be, it never seems to work out with us.
Yeah.
You know, it's, we interview, Georgia Southern's beat writer, you'll hear that interview coming up now, but, you know, he joked about having 33 players out with COVID and a lightning delay, and so they might be our doppelganger.
Yeah, so definitely make sure to stay tuned. You know, obviously enjoy the interview, and, you know, make sure you're following FAU Owl's Nest on Twitter, on the website. Make sure you're following Shane and Jack, as they'll be breaking anything that comes out soon. So, yeah, stay tuned to that, and enjoy this interview with the Georgia Southern beat writer.
All right, Owl Nation, we made it despite whatever is going on at the Schmidt Center. We know most likely that there's going to be football this Saturday in Statesboro, Georgia. We have the Georgia Southern beat writer, McLean Baxley. He writes for the Savannah Morning News. McLean, how you doing today, bud?
Doing great. It's game week. Seasons. You know, it's football season, and it's the best season of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with the kind of year 2020 has been. So we're all excited down here in Boca, but McLean, this is not Southern's first game of the year. They played a game last week against an FCS opponent, Campbell, and they struggled. If it wasn't for a really big performance from Shai Wirtz, the quarterback in the second half, the Camels might have pulled the upset. So can you talk about what happened there?
Yeah, so probably about – so it was a 3:30 kickoff, and probably around 12:30, the team announced that 33 players were going to be inactive. That's players that tested positive for coronavirus, had contact tracing, suspensions, and just regular, you know, football injuries. So that's 33 players that you're out, 7 of those starters. And so, and then we had about a 45-minute lightning delay that kind of just prolonged the kickoff, and everybody started to file into the stadium, and they had to evacuate the stadium, and they came back in, kicked off. And then Haj Malik Williams, the quarterback for Campbell, he just put a perfect drive together, driving down, throwing, running. He's the Big South Offensive Player of the Year and Offensive Freshman or Big South Freshman of the Year last year. So he put on a show. But, yeah, that first half, whether it was the not knowing who was going to play or just the inexperience or just Campbell only having four games and so they wanted to make every game count, whatever it was. I mean, at halftime they were down and really hadn't done anything good on offense especially. They came back there in the second half, like you said, with Shai Wirtz throwing and running and kind of putting the team on his back like he has in years past. He's a redshirt senior. He's a captain for the second straight year and a guy that's kind of underrated in the, you know, Sunbelt community. But again, just putting the team on his shoulders along with JD King, running back, starting in his second year, and those two guys. And then on defense, Raymond Johnson, the senior defensive end, showing some sacks and tackles for loss that really just killed the Campbell's momentum. And then it came down, they scored with, I think, 15 seconds left. And rather than just tie it, they opted to go for two, overthrew the player in the back of the end zone. And so they came down to a onside kick. The first onside kick, they called a timeout before the kick. So we lined it up again, and then Campbell got it, but there was a illegal block, and so they did a third onside kick. It went out of bounds. Southern knelt the ball, and game over. 1-0. So it was a very energetic game, and a very close game, and a very watchable game. If you didn't look at who was playing, you know, a 27-26 season opener is a good score, but then you look at Campbell went 6-5 last year. This is only their eighth season with the team. So a lot to work on, but again, that 33 players out was a big factor.
A lot of good drivers.
Yeah. My question is, you know, to kind of speak it before, I know we all know Shire Wirtz is kind of the star of this team. You know, it seems with Owl fans, we've played Navy a few times in the last couple of years. Or I should say a couple times the last few years, you know, Georgia Southern runs the triple option a little different. Can you kind of break down, you know, how similar it is or, you know, what we can kind of expect, you know, just from me watching Georgia Southern, it seems like they threw the ball a little bit more than you would expect your traditional triple option team would.
Yeah, so when Bob DeBess, he's the offense coordinator, he was hired when Chad Lunsford was named head coach. Back in 2018 was his first year with the team, and he runs it's a pistol offense, and so the quarterback's in the shotgun, and there's so many different formations they do the bobsled, the diamond, they do the, you know, three wing tee, but really just giving Wirtz that buffer behind center so that he can throw. I'd say they, you know, he did 13 pass attempts on Saturday. So, I mean, they do throw the ball. When they do throw the ball, it seems like for the most time they try to go for that long ball. They actually opened the game against Campbell. Their first offensive play was about a 40-yard pass on the outside that was broken up by a defensive pass interference. So when they do hit you with that pass, it's going to be for they want, you know, 30, 40 yards. It's not often we'll see a lot of slants or little screen things because they realize that they're – running backs and their, you know, tight ends and offensive line can produce those yards that the slants would. So it's a pistol offense. It's not as slow and not as time consuming. I know that the first couple weeks where Army was kind of the only team, a lot of people looked at Army having, you know, 10, 12 minute drives. Don't expect that from Georgia Southern. They go quicker than a lot of teams, than other options in years past, but it's definitely still a very run heavy offense, and they'll use five or six different slot backs and running backs to get those yards.
You know, could you kind of talk about, you know, FAU obviously, and we don't know who's going to play or not, is kind of loaded at the skill positions at receivers and running back. I know you guys are missing and possibly getting one, possibly two, some of those impact guys back on defense. Can you just kind of talk about, you know, those matchups there?
Yeah, so pre-COVID, you know, before we know who's out, suspensions or you know, contact trace or whatever, it was going to be the secondary was going to be the weakness for this team, especially on defense. You know, last year they had Kendall Wilder, who's now starting, he's backing up for the Bears, Monquavion Brinson, who was a three-time All-Sun Belt player, Donald Rutledge at safety was another, he's a scout team player for in the NFL. So they had a lot of experience leave. So it's a lot of young guys, especially the corner position. And then on Saturday, Daryl Baker Jr., he was a starting corner and he was out, but he's expected to be back on Saturday. But so that's really the weakness and the big question mark, not only for the defense, but for the team, is can they have step up? So, you know, Justin Birdsong, he's been around for a while. He was out the other day, but he played, but he's a guy that's been around. He's had a couple interceptions and in conference games. And then they're also going to be relying on Kendrick Duncan Jr., who again, didn't play on Saturday. I don't know if he's going to play this Saturday, but he's a guy that's, you know, gotten some preseason Sun Belt accolades at the safety position. He's a really athletic dude. And every time I stand around him, I'm like, I need to go to the gym because of how like he's just strong and athletic. And then Javon Singletary, who really shook out and had a career high 7 tackles. He was a guy that back in April or in March or April, he entered the transfer portal for about 2 weeks. He's a true sophomore this year and came back to the team and was welcomed and came in and, you know, started. He was going to start even before guys were out. So he's a guy that's really stepped up, had 7 tackles on Saturday at the safety position. So he's a guy that's stepped up just in practice. Now, what will that translate to, you know, an FAU team or an App State team or a Troy team that has a lot of skill guys and a lot of size and speed on the outside? We'll see. But, you know, just going against guys in practice, those are the guys that kind of stuck out.
All right. So I think that basically just sums it up. McLean, we definitely want to thank you for being on here. It's going to be an interesting one. That my favorite joke is one that Shane has been doing, so I'm going to steal it from him, is that we're going to find out who has the best practice squad coming out Saturday. Definitely a possibility. So real quick, McLean, if Owl fans want to reach out, want to see what else the Eagles are doing this year, how can Owl fans follow you?
On Twitter is the best way. I'm on there far too much. It's at McLean Baxley. That's at McLean Baxley. You know, I'll be tweeting throughout the week, tweeting through the game. I'll be at the game, you know, in the press box and everything, socially distanced with a mask on. So that's the best way for sure.
And real quick, do you have a score prediction for us? You can be honest. It's all right.
I mean, I think it's going to be close. You know, pre-COVID, I think it was going to be close, and we'll see who shows up and not. But you know, I think Georgia Southern needs a win. They need a home win, and so I'll give it 38-35. Got a couple young kickers came in the other day, Alex Rayner and Dylan Lewis, that got their first game experience the other day. So they'll be the difference, you know, with that field goal in the second half.
That's fair. All right. By the way, before we say goodbye to McLean, Georgia Southern has a 25-game win streak at home against non-conference opponents. So tough streak to put an end to right there.
Yeah, that goes back to 2006. They lost in the FCS playoffs back in 2006. So it's a long streak for sure.
All right. Well, McLean, thanks again for joining us. Be safe, be healthy, and we'll probably see you on Saturday.
All right. We hope you enjoyed that interview with the Georgia Southern beat writer. And make sure, again, to follow us on – to follow everybody on Twitter, FAU Owl's Nest. And we had an issue with iTunes last week, so you can make – now that issue has been resolved, and you can check us out on iTunes, on Spotify, and any podcast place, also YouTube, and obviously FAUOwlsNest.com. So we hope that next week we're going to be recapping a football game that happened this weekend. We hope we'll be recapping a game next week, and we'll see you then. Go Owls.